Doug came into our lives actually a year ago, but by book, by reputation, he came in earlier. And we're just blessed to have him tonight. If you never tasted of some of his literature, there's some on the book table back there. There's some CDs and DVDs, I guess. All the good things that the Lord has used him to give to us. At the same time, I'd like to remind you that we have an offering plate, and I don't have a press to go around and put anybody on the spot, but if you have a nudge by the Lord as we go forth in the time of fellowship when we close up, if you have a desire to put something in that to bless our brother and the rest of the body, just obey the Lord. That's all I'm asking for, is just obey the Lord. This man has given of himself. I understand that his wife gave up on him. She just said, get rid of him, send him up north. And so we're kind of glad about that, because I think I'm going to call her and thank her deliberately. Anytime she wants to get rid of him, she can send him up north. So, without further ado, would you just extend your hands towards him, please? Father, we just want to bless this man. And we're asking that you pour out of him the river of grace that you spoke about. Let it be poured out so that this body of believers may grow and mature. And Lord, do whatever you need to do through him so that this body will have the next level of the revelation that we need in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, we're looking to see what God will do. He's already blessed us a few times. And right now, you are challenged. About if I turn that around, because
okay.
It's going to wiggle, and then I'm going to get some complaints, because I got some complaints last week.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know why?
Why?
Because we lost the little button that goes on there.
Okay.
That's why.
Let me make sure you didn't get my chest hair in there.
Yeah.
I cannot. I don't know why my wife was so glad that I was coming here this week. You know, I just it's kind of like when you've traveled for 7 years and you're gone every week, and now that I'm pastoring, I don't go out near as often. And she says, it's like you're retired. You're just around here all the time, you know. we are going to pick up right where we left off earlier today. Let me get logged into my brain here. And
put the pause button back off. Hopefully we're on record. Yeah, we're on record.
Okay. Are we on?
We're on.
We're on. I'm just going to pick up where we kind of left off this morning. We've been talking about the seed. We talked last night about a seed. And we talked this morning about the seed. How that the Isaiah 45, verse 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Where does he hide himself? Jeremiah 31. For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. The literal Bible says, a woman will encircle a man. The man we talked about in the Hebrew, the name is Geber. And it doesn't mean a baby. It means a valiant warrior. So the woman is compassing a man in the form of a seed. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the seed. Because nothing can stop the seed. Nothing can stop the seed. Where did we end up? We ended up this morning talking about how that in order for the seed to come forth, in order for the woman to give birth to the man, and we ended up in Revelation chapter 12, talking about the woman giving birth to the man, that there had to be a rending of flesh. In the natural sense, you know, in order for my wife to have a baby, there had to be some rending of some flesh. In other words, the water had to break before the baby could come. And in our lives, there has to be a rending of this fleshly, carnal man in order for the seed to come forth. in the, it's a matter of covenant. See, covenant, the word is berith in the Hebrew, and it means in the sense of cutting, a rending. It's a compact or a covenant made by passing between pieces of flesh, and not to be graphic or anything, but basically that's kind of what happens. When a baby comes out, he passes between pieces of flesh. So it's all a picture of covenant, all right? It's all a picture of covenant. And I want to look at something this evening that's part of the seed. And nobody's probably ever heard me speak much on this before, but I'm just going to jump into it. How about this? I'm going to talk about going from promise to fruition, because we talked last night about the promise, the seed, the promise. But in order for a promise, something has to happen in order for a promise to be completed, right? I want to look at Abraham and the promise that was given to him by God. Go to Romans 4:13. See, a promise that's not really brought forth to fruition is not complete yet. It's just hanging out there, all right? Remember, we talked about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that thing that reaches into the realm of possibilities, grasps that promise, and brings it to manifest in the natural realm. It requires faith, and it requires action. Okay? Now, what's the promise that God gave to Abram? Listen to this. For not through the law was the promise to Abram or to his seed that he should be heir of the world. What was the promise? That he should be heir of the world. God's promise to Abram was, you will be heir of the world. Now, stop and think about this. Did Abraham himself receive the fulfillment of this promise? No, he didn't. But God said, you're going to be heir of the world. Abram himself didn't receive the fullness. He received a measure, but he didn't receive the fullness. Somebody's got to receive the fullness of the promise. Somebody's got to receive the fullness. There was a seed involved, and there was fruit involved. Abram did something that will affect those who receive the fruition or the promise coming into completion. Abram did something. There was a seed there. God's promise to Abram was that he would be heir of the world. Now, the word translated as heir means a possessor. A possessor. God said, I'm going to make you a possessor of the world. All right? Possess the world. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big promise. But there's a process involved in this possessing. See, there's always process in things. Yes, it's a finished work, but there's still a process in the appropriation of the promise. See, a lot of folks out there in the kingdom would like to just skip over the whole process deal and say, nope, it's a done deal, and I don't have to. Well, yes, in spirit, it is a done deal. But in reality, we still got some flesh to deal with. And don't sit there looking so sanctified like you don't know what I'm talking about. We all got some stuff going on. We all got some things that we're still, it's a process. There's a process involved in bringing a promise to fruition. Okay? Now, we're going to look into Genesis, book of Genesis. That's Revelation and hang a left. That's my laugh card. Oh, my God. Do I really have to get out the laugh card tonight? Okay. Genesis 14. Genesis 14. Verse 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. You know, God started out with Melchizedek. Melchizedek shows up out of nowhere. What does the book of Hebrews say about? Ah, no record of his lineage. We don't know anything about his mom or his dad, right? No beginning of days, no ending of days. He's not bound by natural lineage. He just shows up out of nowhere. And he's got this, I don't know, he must be having, maybe it's on the back of his t-shirt or something that says, Abram, you're supposed to give me money. I don't know. He just shows up. He's this supernatural dude. I don't know what's with him, but there's something about him, all right? Now, I believe, and I would say most theologians probably agree, that this is an early, what theologians would call a Christophany, or an early appearing of Christ. See, we talk about the second coming of Christ. Well, friend, he came in Melchizedek. He has come so many times. He's coming into people right now. Who's counting? I lost count, man. It's not about the second coming. It's about his coming in you and I. He's been coming all through the ages. Okay? He never stopped. In fact, when he was going to go away, he said, I will send you another comforter. The word another there in the Greek means another of the same kind. He said, I will never leave you. I won't forsake. He's been coming all the time. That's right. So here he shows up in the book of Genesis, and it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High God. This is the first priest what's a priest? The first mention of priest in the whole book, in the whole Bible. Well, he's a priest. Okay? He's special. All right? Priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Well, not just a minute. He said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. I thought Abram was a moon worshiper or something like that, wasn't he? Yeah. But here, Melchizedek calls forth and he says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Whew. Maybe he's looking at something beyond the surface. Maybe this Melchizedek is calling forth a destiny inside of Abram. what do you think of that? Yeah. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, here's what happens. Melchizedek shows up. He's priest of the Most High God. Now, something remarkable happens. You and I are used to the terminology, the tithe. We're really used to that because we've been in church, all right? This is long before any, even the concept is foreign. And what happens? Since he gave him tithes of all. So this was long before the law. This was long before the Levitical priesthood. See, the Melchizedek priesthood precedes law and supersedes law. It's totally apart from law. In fact, you look like you don't believe me. Let's look here. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians 3:17. See, Melchizedek's priesthood was based in covenant. It was not based in law. Galatians 3:17, what's it say? Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law which came 430 years after doth not disannul so as to make the promise of none effect. The law came 430 years after covenant was established. Covenant totally supersedes and overrides law. The Melchizedek priesthood was not birthed out of law. It was birthed out of covenant. Why do I say that? Because he brought forth bread and wine. We have our high priest who is after the order of Melchizedek who brought forth what? Bread and wine. What did he say about the bread and wine? This is my body. This is my blood. What is covenant? Berith, passing between pieces of flesh. When you cut covenant, you're going to have blood and flesh. The Melchizedek priesthood totally supersedes law and the Levitical priesthood because it came first. Something happened here, though. Something happened here. It says, and he gave him tithes of all. The law came 430 years after covenant was established. This word covenant, berith, means to pass between pieces of flesh, cutting, shedding of blood. It's what happens with the risk of being a little graphic. It's what happens in the birthing of something, all right? Shedding of blood. All right. I was there all four times in the birthing room when my wife gave birth, and all I can say is, thank God for those Lamaze lessons, you know, where they teach you how to breathe. If I had not had those, I would have passed out. I don't know. Oh, my God. It was just, my wife would be saying, it's okay, honey. Take a deep cleansing breath. She didn't need them. I needed them. I'm just messing with you. Now, Melchizedek, he's one who transcends the temporal. He's outside of time, right? Outside of time, outside of all. He's not limited by natural lineage. An ancient Christophany, a foreshadowing, if you will, of another one who was to come to bring forth many sons, in his image and in his likeness. And what did he do? He recognizes something in Abram, doesn't he? Everybody else doesn't. He recognizes something in Abram and he calls it forth. Ah, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, Melchizedek is a priest of the Most High God. And he says, Abram, you're of the Most High God. What's he saying? We got the same daddy. Amen. We got the same daddy. That means we be brothers. Okay. Let's keep going. Now, what did he do? He spoke a blessing over Abram. He spoke a blessing over him. And I want us to see something here. Keep in mind, we're talking about Melchizedek, or Christ, however you want to say it. He's supernatural. He speaks a blessing over Abram. Now, he is a supernatural being, person, whatever you want. He could very well have said, you know something, Abram? You've got some real issues, buddy. Because, you know, I know a couple of chapters back you were kind of sleeping with Hagar. A couple chapters from now you're going to be passing your wife off as your sister and stuff like that. You've got some real issues, dude. He didn't do that, did he? He spoke to his potential. He spoke to his potential. He didn't call his sin to remembrance, did he? Now, at some point during my meetings, I always like to take a little time and call out everybody's secret sins. And I think this is probably a good time for that. And it's only befitting that I should start with Pastor Kim. So, so I besought the Lord and I said, Lord, tell me, I know there's something. What is Pastor King's secret sin? You know what the answer was? I forgot. God. God forgets. Now we remember.
Yeah.
And he forgets. Melchizedek doesn't say, listen, you slime bag, you got problems, buddy. You better clean up your act before God's ever going to use you. No, he calls forth a destiny. Calls forth a destiny. I have had it with sin-conscious preaching that beats people and gets them. Ugh. Yeah. I just get. Now. So he speaks a word that calls for. See, really, all he's doing is there's already a word of destiny in Abram, isn't there? There's already, God already put stuff in him, right? All he does is he speaks the same frequency. He speaks the same frequency to that tuning fork. Okay? Makes it vibrate a little bit more. Makes it vibrate a little bit. That's all he does. See, he didn't speak a different frequency, did he? No, he spoke to his potential. And here's what happens. And he brought out bread and wine. Genesis 14, 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, Jesus Christ, go to 1 Corinthians 11. Our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, does the same thing. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I like that beat. I don't know what they got going up there, but I'm ready to go up and just join him. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here reading this and listening to the beat, and I'm thinking, yeah. And when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take it and eat in my... Okay, sorry, all right. I never could rap worth a darn, so, all right. Okay, take it, eat, this is my... I'm sorry, I'm not being irreverent, I'm just being... Me. Weird. Sorry. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. He said, do this in remembrance of me. See, I believe that Jesus the Christ is remembering a many-membered body that had been dismembered by religion over centuries, but now he is remembering this many-membered body into a new priesthood, and that priesthood is the priesthood of Melchizedek. Same priesthood that he was of. Okay? Yeah. Abram did something. He sowed a tithe of the spoil into Melchizedek. Now keep in mind, this was long before Moses. This was long before the Levitical priesthood. This was long before the law. It was a totally foreign concept. Okay? See, I'm afraid that we can read that and read right over it simply because it's such a common concept for you and I. We've been in church. We know about giving. We know. But here, this is like big stuff. It's a totally foreign concept. And what happens is, Abram sows a seed, doesn't he? He sows a seed. Now, did he sow seed into any of the other kings? No, he didn't. He just slaughtered a bunch of them. But did he sow any to those that were on the... No, he didn't sow into anybody else. See, just like the priesthood of Melchizedek is totally apart from law and based in covenant, this covenantal first fruits offering is totally apart from law and it is based in covenant. This is a totally different thing. And this thing gets covenantal results.
Now listen, listen.
It wasn't to fulfill any requirement of the law. The seed that was sown into Melchizedek had a greater purpose than just a gift, didn't it?
Ah.
The seed that was sown into Melchizedek was not like the seed sown into the Levitical priesthood. To keep them, you know, so they could live and eat and all that kind of stuff. No, it was a different thing. This is a seed that is sown in with a greater purpose. It's apart from law. It supersedes law because it's based in covenant.
I'm going somewhere with this.
Now, what was God's promise to Abram? That he would be heir or possessor of the world. Now, what was the blessing pronounced by Melchizedek? Genesis 14, 19, and 20. What's it say here? And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So here we see that the Most High possessor, okay, that's what he said, that's what he calls him here, the Most High possessor covenanted to make Abram and his seed possessors. See, it's kind of like the sons of Zadok. You read about the sons of Zadok in Ezekiel 44. Is that where it is? And it's they were not to have any inheritance. They were not to have any inheritance. They weren't gonna. But it says, I will be their inheritance. Now, if the Most High possessor of heaven and earth is my inheritance and my possession, and he possesses everything, then that, and if he's my possession, then that means I will possess anything and everything that he wants me to. God covenanted here with Abram to make him possessor of everything. Abram did something, though, that will affect those who actually come into the completion of the promise. Abram sowed a seed. Nothing happens without a seed. I used to live in Kansas. I know about seeds. We got miles and miles of wheat fields. You can get on I-70 and start driving, and after about 2-3 hours, you're looking around, you're having deja vu, thinking, I just passed that wheat field. And about 3 or 4 hours later, you're driving along, and you think, my God, I just passed that wheat field. There's wheat everywhere. But you know what all that stuff starts with?
Seed.
Seed.
All starts with a seed.
What was he to possess? Psalm 2, verse 8. He says, ask of me, I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Even after his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, he still did not receive the fullness of this promise, did he? But somebody's going to. Now, go to Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female. For ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then ye are Abram's seed, heirs according to the promise. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:2. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Amplified Bible says, do you not know that the saints, the Christians, will one day judge and govern the world? See, I happen to believe that Abram did something. And I'm going to trace out the journey of the seed for you real quick here. Abram did something that will enable this promise to come into fruition. Because, see, I happen to believe that that seed that Abram sowed into Melchizedek, that is part of what's going to make the fruition come to a people. All right? See, there's another principle that I'm weaving in here. I'm showing you what it did in Abram's life, and I'm showing you what it's going to reap for us. But see, there's another principle in play here too. Where are you sowing seed? Where are you? See, a whole lot of folks out there are sowing seed into ministries that are preaching sin consciousness and beating people down with religion. Every seed will produce after its own kind. If that's what you sow into, that's what you're going to reap. Now, let's keep going with Abram here. See, Abram and Melchizedek, they're still bound together. Still bound together. Because Abram's seed into Melchizedek is an integral part of the promise coming into fruition. Now, here's number one. God, Most High Possessor, covenanted that Abram and his seed would inherit or possess the world. That's number one. So the Most High Possessor covenanted to make Abram possessor. Number two, Abram sowed a covenantal first fruit tithe into Melchizedek. Nothing to do with law. It was long before law. Nothing to do with the Levitical. Nothing to do with any of that. It's all based in covenant. So number one, the possessor covenants to make Abram a possessor. Number two, Abram then sows a seed into Melchizedek. Now, let's keep going here. Let's keep going. Who comes up next? Jesus Christ, who was the promised seed of Abram, the initial promised seed of Abram, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Are you following me? Are you following the seed? You follow it? Okay. See, it's the kingly, priestly Melchizedek anointing that will inherit the promise that was made to Abram. Who's going to inherit the earth? The Melchizedek kingship priesthood. That's the anointing that inherits the possession, the promise. So you've got Abram sows the seed into Melchizedek. Melchizedek comes back, if you will, in the form of Jesus the Christ. He shows up. First time he's brought forth bread and wine. Second time he brings forth bread and wine. It's a picture of the same thing. And he doesn't stop there. He comes to establish a new priesthood so that he will have many priests after the order of Melchizedek who bring forth bread and wine to a world that is hungry and thirsty. And it's the Melchizedek priesthood anointing that will inherit the promise that was made back there. Now, here's my point. If you cut off the seed that Abram sowed, you will not find destiny coming to fruition down here. If you cut off the seed sown back there, you'll not find destiny coming to fruition on this end. What am I saying? I'm saying Abram planted a seed that's going to affect, hopefully, you and I, if we indeed are that generation. The question is, are you planting seeds that are going to affect generations to come? Depends on where you plant them. See, if you're planting a seed into a sin-conscious ministry that beats people down and does not call forth their destiny, it will produce after its own kind. Where do you want to plant seeds? You want to plant seeds in good soil. In Kansas, we got good soil. And any farmer will tell you that what's going to determine your harvest is whether or not you got good soil. You want to be planting into ministries that call forth people's destiny. Just like Abram planted. Now, why am I talking about this? Because I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. See, at home, I don't talk about money a lot, hardly, but I'm not afraid to talk about it. Why? Because I want my people to be blessed. Why? So we can all live in big houses and drive fancy cars? No. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that need, that are in need. We want to be blessed so that we can bless others. And see, the principle here is if you cut off the seed, you don't have a harvest. And it's important where the seed goes. Are you with me? This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. I want you guys to be so blessed that you have more than enough. All right? Now, let's keep going here. See, it's this kingly, priestly, Melchizedek anointing that possesses that thing which is, it's already finished in the spiritual realm. In other words, Ephesians chapter 1, it says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? So that word heavenly places, in the Greek, it's epiorianos, and basically it means the third heaven. So there is a vast reservoir, if you will, of the blessing of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, that is. It's already there. It's finished in the third heaven, in that spiritual realm. We don't always see the fullness of it down here, do we? No. Our job is to reach into that place by faith and bring it to manifest in this realm. Okay? Dare I say, for most of us, there's a whole bunch of stuff there waiting for us. It's got our name on it. And yet, we don't always... And keep this in perspective. I'm not talking about name it and claim it, okay? This is not kingdomized name it and claim it or anything like that. We're so far past that. This is not about us. It's just we want to be blessed so we can bless others. There's stuff waiting there. But until I exercise the faith to reach forth and grab that thing, and the most common way to get a harvest is what? Plant a seed. Hello. That's basically the way it works. Yeah, I want to give you another little tidbit. Do you know the feast that we are moving into now is the Feast of Tabernacles? All right? The other feasts were feasts of harvest, but those were the feasts of the grain harvest. Now in Kansas, do you know what the farmer has to do every year? He got to go out and plant seeds. If he don't go out and plant seeds, he's not going to have any wheat in the ground. That's a grain harvest. Tabernacles isn't about grain harvest. You know what Tabernacles is about? Fruit harvest. When I lived in Iowa, we had a tree in our backyard. It was a pear tree. I don't know who planted that thing. Somebody took one little seed and stuck it in the ground. And do you know what? Every year I lived there, I wasn't part of sowing that seed, but every year I lived there, my backyard was knee-deep in pears. We would gather up pears in boxes like, we would give them away to the neighbors, we'd take them to church, we'd give them to everybody. We had more pears than we knew what to do with. I didn't have to plant a seed every year, did I? See, we're moving into a whole different season here. This is a season of a tabernacle's fruit harvest. That seed that you plant, don't just be looking for a one-time return on it. I am looking for year after year after year after year. I'm looking just like that pear tree, and you know, it got to be a nuisance. There were so many pears. My gosh, what are we going to do with these? Now imagine sowing seed to the point where there's so much blessing coming in that it's just a nuisance. It's like, God, what am I going to do with this? See, I want you all to be blessed. I want you all to be blessed. So what's the progression? Number one, God, Most High Possessor, covenants to make Abram and his seed to possess the world. Abram sows covenantal first fruit into Melchizedek. Jesus, the Christ, the promised seed of Abram, comes along after the order of Melchizedek to establish a new priesthood, and it's the Melchizedek kingly priesthood that will inherit the promise that was made to Abram, all because of the plan of God working through a seed. You know what? I wonder, this is just coming to me now, and it's probably just an aside thought, but I wonder what the actual amount of the spoil, the tithe that he sowed into Melchizedek, you know, compared to what the ultimate promise, heir of the world, it probably wasn't much. It was probably a very small seed that was sown, but look how it multiplies. Okay? Now, let's keep going here. Let's keep going. Habakkuk 2:14. What's it say? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We will possess everything. A whole lot of Christians out there think that Islam has taken over. I got news for you. I know who's taken over. Jesus has taken over. He has already established his kingship. He is the ruling principality over this region. Where was I? Somewhere out in California one time. They picked me up at the airport and they give me this rundown of all of the different principalities and powers over the region. And I'm sitting there in the car trying to think, oh my God, how am I going to be polite about this? And basically then, once I got to the meeting, I spent the next 3 hours totally destroying their theology. Ended up telling them, I know who the ruling principality is. His name is Jesus. Always has been, always will be. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Every knee bows. Every knee bow. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Okay. Go to Amos 9:13. Amos, that's right next to Andy. Amos and Andy?
Yep.
Okay. I'm too young to remember that. I'm way too young to remember Amos and Andy. Amos 9:13. I like the way the Amplified Bible says it. Look, it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing. Like my pear tree in that backyard, overflowing with fruit. That's what I want. And let's see, we can take it out of the realm of the natural and the monetary realm, too. It applies to everything. He says, I pray that you prosper as your soul prosper. See, it's not just about money and natural things. It's about spirit. It's about everything. I want us to be so blessed. Because there's a lot of people out there in need. What did Melchizedek bring forth? Bread and wine. Bread and wine. What did Jesus bring forth? Bread and wine. What are we to bring forth? Bread and wine to a world that is hungry, and thirsty. What is the bread symbolic of? The bread is symbolic of the very life of Christ himself. What's the wine symbolic of? The very life of Christ himself. The blood and the body. It's all a picture of us bringing forth Christ, who is the answer to everything. Who also happens to be the possessor of everything. And if the possessor of everything is my possession, then that means that I possess everything that he wants. Isn't this fun?
Oh.
See, Abram didn't sow into these other kings. He sowed into the one that was speaking to Abram's potential. He was speaking blessing. See, the words. What are we connecting with in other people? Melchizedek didn't say, listen, Abram, you got some real issues here. You got to get you cleaned up before God can bless. No. He spoke to his, but he called that forth. Here's what Hebrews 7:2. For what saith the Scripture? Abram believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now, let's think about this. Melchizedek, what's his name mean? Melchi, king of, Melchi, Zadok, righteousness. He was king of righteousness. Now, if Melchizedek is king of righteousness, and he pronounces blessing, or, to say it another way, he pronounces an impartation, blessing, impartation, however you want to think about it, he imparts that into Abram, and then hear what was said of Abram. It was reckoned unto him for righteousness. See, I believe that there was an impartation of righteousness and faith that went from Melchizedek into Abram. Why? Because he spoke to his potential. He spoke to, not to Abram's righteousness, did he? Abram had some issues. I like David. Remember David? The man after God's own heart. Well, remember, the man after God's own heart killed another woman's husband and was sleeping with her and married her. I mean, that's some issues. At least in my book, that's issues. But God called forth his potential. Now, skip through some of this. Give me just a second here. Psalm 2:8. It says, ask of me, I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. See, I believe that it's time for you and I to really begin to tap into. See, it's one thing to give. It's another thing to give with understanding. It's one thing to, how can I relate this? It's one thing for me to, go fishing. You know what I know about fishing? Absolutely nothing. You know how many fish I catch when I go fishing? About as much as I know. Why? Because I don't know nothing about fishing. I go out there and I kind of throw a line in with a worm on it, and I don't know what to do because I have no understanding. Now, there's guys around that have understanding of how to fish. Why? Because they're interested in it and they've studied it. And they know what's going to catch a fish. And they'll go out and, man, they'll pull them in. The difference? Understanding. See, we can just give, or we can give with understanding the process involved and we're going to get a different harvest. So the question is, how many fish do you want? I'm not talking about amounts or any of that. I'm talking about a spiritual principle here. Do we want to be people who operate in the law-based giving of the Levitical priest? No, we want to be people who operate in the covenantal-based first fruits offering that brings forth a covenantal harvest. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be involved in. Why? Because I'm after nations. I'm not satisfied just with North Carolina. I am after nations. Now, maybe you're thinking, I don't want to go to other nations. Well, you don't have to go, but you can still ask for nations. See? So what's the progression? God covenanted that Abram and his seed would possess the world. Abram sowed seed, a covenantal first fruits, into Melchizedek. Melchizedek comes forth as Jesus the Christ, the promised seed after the order of Melchizedek, and the seed comes to fruition in a people who are a Melchizedek priesthood who operate as possessors. See, eventually, your church is going to grow to where you're going to need a bigger space. Maybe even need a building. Okay? That's all part of it. Why? Is it, well, we want a building? No. We're not about buildings. We're not about any of that. You know where we meet? In a United Methodist church on Saturday night. We're not about buildings, but you know what? Eventually, hopefully, we will need a bigger place. Eventually, hopefully, and all of that is part of the process. Okay? I want you to be blessed. See, the thing we got to understand is the seed will reproduce after itself. Seeds reproduce after their own kind. If I plant wheat, what am I going to get? Wheat. If I plant apples, what am I going to get? Apples. The difference between wheat and apples is one thing. If I plant wheat, I'm going to have to plant every year. I plant apples, I'm going to get a tree that's going to begin to produce and produce and produce. That's the harvest. That's the tabernacle's fruit harvest that we're moving into. Stand to your feet. Take out your Bible. We're going to make some declarations here. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a king and a priest. After the order of Melchizedek. I'm not of the old order. I'm of the new order. And I am a possessor because he is the possessor. And he's covenanted to make me a possessor. I'm going to begin to sow seed into the right ground with understanding. And I am believing for a covenantal harvest, a fruit harvest of more than enough. Amen. I'm done. Amen.
Come on, you got to give a clap offering because the Lord did a good job. I don't know about this guy, but I think we'll love him on the little extra, huh?
Hallelujah.
You know, when God begins to speak to you about doing what he says rather than what you think is right, you will reap and you will gain. And there are times that the Lord reminded me not too many weeks back because there was a real challenge in my life. And I said to the Lord, you know, I was 40 years old when you told me it was time to get ready for you to sell my business. And the first words out of my mouth was, how am I going to live? And within 2 years, the business was sold.
Yep.
And I've never worked a normal day, a normal way since then. Now, I get a gift every single month from the church to keep surviving. And the numbers are not important. But I can tell you this. Out of what I had that was sold, I was able to live. And when I first started at Grace Church in 1985, I was making $50 a month. That was my gift. The rest I paid out of my own pocket. And I had been 3 years out of work. So you see, I don't think I had a normal harvest. I believe there were a few trees in my yard that were feeding. And then there came a low point. And I can remember that low point because I had used up the finances that had been provided by the building. And I said to the Lord, how am I going to survive? And he says, have I kept you this far? Have I kept you this far? That was his response. Have I kept you this far? Meaning, who do you belong to? Okay? And the next month came, and of course that financial gift that was supposed to come didn't come anymore because it was paid. It was paid in full. And they couldn't give me what was not mine. God moved on a young man. And that young man came every single month with a gift. And that gift sustained me and my family so that we could continue to pay our bills on time. Not because I gave to him. I never gave that young man anything. But God would knock on the door. I would get a knock on the door. And this is how he supplied. A few years ago, we had a real slump. And I said to the Lord, it was right after the holidays, oh my God, you know, we had to charge some Christmas presents, which we never did, but that particular month, it was horrible. How many of you have ever had a tough month? Thank you. But you know what? The kids don't understand that, you know, Christmas is going to be canceled this month. You're going to have to wait an extra month. It doesn't work that way. And do you know, I said to my wife, I don't know how we're going to pay this month without having to pay maybe an interest charge because, you know, if you don't pay your MasterCard on time, what happens? You get an interest. And I said, Lord, I refuse to give him any money. I don't want to give him any interest. I don't mind paying what I owe, but I don't want to give him any interest. You know that there was a knock on my door. December 31st at 7 p.m. And a man was there and he handed me $700 cash. And he says, God said this was yours so that you could pay something that you owe. That's all he had, is a word. Now, I've never made this public. I'm making it public now. Because you see, what I believe I have is some trees. And they are producing a harvest. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to tell you something. This man has a message from God. Listen to what he said, and then obey what he said to do. Listen to the Most High God, because he's inside of you. He's inside of you. That Melchizedek priest is inside of you. He's not outside, he's inside. Yes. He was the promise that was given to us, and we have him in a deposit. And some of us have a little more interest. That's all I've got. It's a little, maybe more than you. But you know what? You have the same seed. Not a different seed. So believing, Lord, that you have given us a message tonight, that you will transform our thinking, and then give us the courage and the grace to obey so that your spirit will definitely be in charge of everything we do and how we do it. And all of God's people said,
amen.